Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Friends of Kevin Radio Show. The Friends of Kevin Radio Show helps promote businesses, nonprofits, and artists. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, send us an email to kevin@friendsofkevin.com. To learn more about the Friends of Kevin Networking Group and to see a list of upcoming events, visit the website at friendsofkevin.com. So excited today to get Sam Mohegan with us. Sam's a realtor. And we'll talk a little bit about the interest in real estate market right now. Hey, Sam, how you doing today?
Hey, Kevin, doing well. How are you?
Living the dream, my friend. So let's talk a little bit about what you do. So what type of real estate do you work in?
Yeah, so mainly residential. Do some land as well, land development, building, that kind of thing. Some commercial, but I usually, anyone that comes for commercial stuff, I have a guy that I work with who, that's all he does. So it's just a different animal. I usually, refer that out to him. He's a great guy. But, mostly residential, New Hampshire, soon to be Mass, homes and land.
So, Sam, remembering this is a 15-minute segment, chuckle, chuckle, what does the current market look like? Because you can go on for days about this market.
Yeah. I mean, in a nutshell, it's definitely – for the most part, it's still definitely a seller's market. The main thing is, it's kind of crazy. There's such a lack of inventory that is, keeping prices pretty high. So it's definitely advantageous for sellers, right now. However, the rates are astronomically low right now. It's pretty crazy. And so it does give buyers a pretty big advantage as well, which is, hasn't always been the case. Usually it's more so one or the other, but right now it is kind of great time for both, aside from the fact that there's just not a lot out there. So it sort of makes the process a little bit tougher, but it's certainly doable. If you can take advantage of the time, it is a great time. For buyers, it is a lot of multiple offers, that kind of thing, but there's ways around it. And different price ranges, it does vary. I mean, higher up you go, it's a little bit different of a situation. But for the most part, the biggest thing is there's just not a lot out there. We're starting to see a little bit increase, a little bit, little by little, more coming on. And I think that'll continue. But for right now, things are just crazy. I mean, as soon as something comes on, they have an open house and then, they have offers on. As long as it's, priced relatively correctly and stuff like that. But yeah, like I said, like you said, I could go on forever, but yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's pretty quick. But certainly doable. I mean, it's certainly big advantages to make a move right now.
So now we've already acknowledged the market and the limited inventory out there. So we got a lot of first time buyers coming in for the proverbial spring market. What's the most important first step in buying a home then, Sam?
Yeah, so a lot of people, they call me up or whatever, and they're like, oh, I saw this house. I want to go look at it. And that's great. But the main thing is you definitely want to talk to a lender and get pre-qualified as the first step. And I can't emphasize it enough in this type of market that we're in because houses are moving so quickly, offers are being submitted, same day sometimes that they even hit the market, that you need to be pre-qualified, to submit an offer. So having that in hand when you go and start looking, that way you'll be fully prepared and ready to go when it does come time, when you do find that right house. So I always encourage people to talk to a lender. They can use whoever they want. If they, ask, I give them who I've worked with in the past and things like that. But they need to get pre-qualified. That's definitely the first step. It doesn't take long. A lot of them can do it over the phone. But that's really the critical part because you really can't – otherwise you're putting the cart in front of the horse. So you really want to get that to know where you stand, and then you can start going and looking at inventory from there.
Yeah, Sam, that brought back memories. Years ago when we bought a house, I made that mistake. Typical Sunday drive, you go see a house, like, oh, my God, this is amazing. Yeah, it was twice what I could afford, Sam. So, of course, it was amazing. and it gets worse because then you start seeing houses you can afford, and, of course, it doesn't live up to houses twice the value. So it's like, yeah, that is sound advice. And all kidding aside, in today's market, no seller is going to take you seriously if you're not pre-approved, no matter what your offer is, because of the competitive rates. I mean, I can't imagine they would even entertain you. So now, because that seems to be the issue right now, is the multiple offers. So how can buyers stand out in that competition then, Sam?
Yeah, so it's a lot of people think that, you know, the highest offer always wins. And for sure, you know, a lot of times that is the case. But when it comes to like a type of market that we're in now, it's definitely there are other parts of an offer, other terms that can sometimes be just as, if not more important than price to a seller. And so when you go up in this type of market, when you're dealing with multiple offers, it's obviously very competitive. You want to try to do your best, and obviously as an agent, this is what I would do on behalf of my clients, is find out, you know, what is most important to sellers. You know, it comes up a lot as like, you know, some of the time sellers get anxious thinking about selling their home because they need to find another home. And so there are plenty of homes right now of the inventory out there that is contingent on the seller finding their next home. And so finding out what is important to the sellers and crafting an offer based on that is something that would definitely work in the buyer's favor. Certainly price would be, you know, probably top of the list. But then aside from that, there are other terms like, for instance, like the example I just said, if you're flexible on the closing date and you're willing to give the seller some more breathing room to find a house, you know, they may be more apt to look toward your offer. If there's other extenuating circumstances that they need to like rent it back or something, or, you know, inspections, stuff like that, those sellers all take that into account, you know, when looking at an offer and weigh that against the price being offered. Because you get to a certain point, especially in this market, where, you know, if they don't think it's going to appraise anyway, the highest price does not always win. It a lot of times is based on the full context of the offer. So there's a lot of ways to approach it. It varies by every different situation, but it's definitely not always the price.
Man, it's a good point. Now, one of the things that's relatively new to me is there being a listing agent and a buyer's agent. That's something I never really heard of when I bought a house. What's the difference between the two, and why do you use one over the other?
Yeah, so this is more, they're more of labels, and it doesn't necessarily represent the agent as that's the only thing they do, and I'll get into that. But essentially, they're just names of roles. So when a house goes on the market and through the MLS using a realtor, the agent with the listing is called the listing agent. They represent the seller and only the seller. So, you know, buyers going around to an open house or just looking on, you know, whatever website online, and they come across a home and they contact that realtor who's listing the property. A lot of people don't realize, but that agent is representing the seller. They're legally contracted to do so. That doesn't mean, you know, they have to be fair and honest, you know, to everyone. But when it comes to negotiations, crafting an offer, that sort of thing, you know, again, they have to be honest, but they work for the seller's best interest. Whereas obviously a buyer's agent would be working on behalf of the buyer to work for your best interest. Now, so it's just, you know, there is a fine line there, and you as a buyer want to understand the fact that, you know, if you go straight to a listing agent, you're essentially unrepresented versus having a buyer, you know, in your corner just to go, you know, above and beyond what is listed on the disclosures, what's on the listing sheet, that sort of thing. Someone, you know, a good buyer's agent should be going and doing the due diligence and helping you get all the details so you know exactly what you're getting. And it's also, like I was saying, it's a label, right? Because there are certain agents who only work with buyers. They're a designated buyer agent, and that's all they do. But a lot of agents, they will do listings and buyers. So they can be both. It's obviously they're not usually both in the same circumstance. But, you know, an agent who lists your house for sale will likely also be, you know, they'll help you buy your next one. So they'll be both, but in different transactions. But it's an important point. There are a lot of disclosures now that we have to give and stuff like that, explaining the different relationships. But it's just something in my experience, a lot of people don't understand that, you know, there are agents on both sides.
So, Sam, you're making me feel old today because we're going to talk about technology. And when I bought my house, the technology was by the local paper, go to the real estate section on Sunday, circle the open houses, and go see them. Could you imagine if we tried doing that nowadays? The house would have been sold, you know, 3 days ago. You'd never even get to see a house. It'd be gone. Technology has really changed your whole game in real estate. Everyone seems to know about every house that's on the market instantaneously. Big difference.
Yeah, yeah. There's, you know, I wasn't around for it, but, like, you know, there are definitely I know people who were here when, like, you know, there was a book in the office and people would go and look at the book and see all the
listings.
Yeah,
that's how I learned,
So it's definitely changed. I mean, it is it's moving very fast. There's a lot of different things happening in real estate. That real estate seems to be one of the big industries now that companies have tech has kind of looked into more and tried to start disrupting. But the big thing is, no one has quite, in my opinion, fully, you know, fundamentally disrupted the way real estate is done now. There are different companies like iBuyers and stuff like that, giving cash offers and such and all of that. But a lot of it is marketing right now. There's no real, from what I've seen, cost difference to homeowners. But the big thing that tech has done is, one, opened up new possibilities. It has changed the way agents interact with clients, or at least have the opportunity to, you know, interacting text, interacting the way that client wants to be communicated with. And it has also changed the way, you know, we market properties. Obviously, there's a lot more, like there's a joke that, you know, you don't do the three P's anymore when you list a house, which is, you know, put in the MLS, put a sign in the yard and pray. There's a lot more to it now where you have the ability to, you know, use social marketing to do target segmented ads to different demographics, different locations, that sort of thing. You have, you know, all sorts of different platforms that you can now have visibility on. You have influencer marketing. You have different types of, you know, 24-hour access to different phone lines to get information if an agent isn't available. But I think it's also opened up just like availability of agents and allowed people to have more access on their terms and on their schedule, which is sometimes difficult. But I think in a consumer, from the consumer standpoint, it's definitely more beneficial to them than, like, you know, back in the day, if you will.
So, Sam, it must be challenging to try to work on a price for a home, because we're just seeing houses just price escalate on bidding wars and multiple offers, that people are hearing about that and they're coming back going, but Sam, isn't my house worth all this money because somebody down the street bid an astronomical amount for the house that's probably not going to appraise, but now I think my house is worth that. How do you handle those situations when you get that just crazy bidder?
Yeah, so talking about like valuing a home or something like that, it's not one set formula that works every time. There's a lot of online platforms that, you know, give out different numbers. The problem there is you really need context of the specific area, the specific neighborhood, and the specific properties. You need to be able to see the inside and really examine it. And then, you know, what we do is, you know, I go out and look at what's called comps, comparable properties, and find out what they sold for, but then also learn about those properties and say what is different from those versus the property that, you know, we're looking to sell, and make adjustments based on those differences and coming to a, you know, reasonable number based on that. You know, we have people all the time say, well, my neighbor's house sold for this. Well, yes, mm-hmm. but that was, you know, a year and a half ago. Or, you know, yes, but they have 1,000 more square feet or whatever. And so it's a very subjective kind of art versus a science, but it's definitely no one formula works across the board. It's definitely specific based on each property.
So, Sam, how can people reach out to you? How can they learn more?
Yeah, so my phone is glued to my head pretty much all day and night. So the direct line for me is 603-339-2429 is my cell. They can email me. S, my email address is S as in Sam, and then my last name, BOGHIGIAN at KW.com. They can also call the office. I'm part of Keller Williams Gateway Realty in Nashua. And their number is
883-8400.
No problem. Yeah, I'm also obviously on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn, Sam Bohegan, so they can look me up on there. But yeah.
So Sam, I really appreciate you taking the time to call into the show, and as always, thanks for being my friend, Sam.
Yeah, likewise, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Yep, bye now.